Carl. Thank you, Andrew, for leading us in our songs.
I forgot to turn it on.
Truth. That's what each and every one of these favorites dealt with. As the reasons were given for why certain songs were favored, it was because of the truth conveyed in those songs. Aren't you glad truth change does not change? I was going to say, aren't you glad truth changes? Aren't you glad that truth doesn't change?
Amen.
And the Lord certainly said it all when he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall
set you free.
Everybody wants to know the truth, don't they?
Not.
No. Everybody does not want the truth. I think of, as I just said that, Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 is one of the most amazing chapters in Scripture because of the description it gives to us of humanity. And it tells us here in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And my Bible, the little footnote says, who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. And a few verses later on, it says in 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. They professed themselves to be wise in verse 22. And in verse 23, they finally changed the glory of God into they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, beasts, creeping things. And verse 25 says it all. They changed the truth of God into a lie. How thankful I am for the truth of God's word. And by God's grace, I don't ever want to change his truth for a lie. It's the truth that sets us free. Okay, well, you got a free one tonight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the second one, okay? Thank you, Father, that we can be here tonight, and we thank you for your blessed truth. Thank you for the truth of songs that have been composed, that really have put to music truth that you have revealed in your word. And we are thankful. We all have those songs that are so dear to our hearts because of the truth they convey and the truth they teach us about you. I pray tonight that you would impress us with your truth. I pray, Lord, that you would get the glory in what is said and done in these coming moments ahead. We trust you. We look forward to what you have for us. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, Andrew, you can write your title down, Fair Weather Faith. Fair Weather Faith. Have you ever heard of a fair weather friend? Okay, what is a fair weather friend, Judson?
One is only a friend with you when the going is good, or when you're helping them with
something. Someone's only a friend with you when the going is good, or you're helping them. Someone else. said it pretty much, didn't it? As long as, what oftentimes we see, as long as this person can benefit in some way from you, whether it's help, encouragement, money, or whatever it is, they're your friend. But when you fall on hard times, and maybe you're not able to be there for them, or maybe you're not able to help them anymore financially, and they've hit you time and time again, and it comes to the point where you say, I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. It's interesting often to see how that friendship just kind of floats away, and you discover, boy, that person who used to be around all the time, and I thought they were my friend, where are they? I guess they're not my friend after all. Well, what about fair weather faith? What about fair weather faith, Jim?
Well, you don't have hard times, your faith is good.
As long as you don't have hard times, your faith is good. I talked with someone one time whose faith was being stretched to the limit by things this person was experiencing. And the comment that person was making was this: I don't know what I have done in order for these things to be happening to me. I don't know why God would have me go through things like this. Let's face it, sometimes it's pretty tough. How's your faith in foul weather, spiritually speaking? Well, James 5:11 says, you have heard of the patience of Job. I think we could also remember Job for his faith, not only his patience. And I want us to take a journey this evening through a good number of passages of Scripture. And first of all, before we do that, try to imagine experiencing what Job did in Job chapter 1 and 2 without any explanation, without God coming to you and saying to you, Job, I just want you to know you're on the verge of some very hard times. But I want you to be assured you haven't done anything wrong. It's not because I have forgotten you or failed you. Now, if God would have pulled Job aside and said that, I think we would all agree he probably wouldn't have had near the difficult time, would he? If we know why certain things are happening, many times it is easier, isn't it? It's when, as far as we are concerned, I've searched my heart, I can't find any reason why this is happening. What did I do? What went wrong? I can well imagine that how Job must have felt. Job is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. I don't know about you, but over the years, so many times when I read the book of Job, knowing what we do, because we have the whole story, don't we? Poor Job didn't. I feel sorry for that man. I admire the man because of his stand. But Job did experience some times when he just wanted to be able to have a close relationship and understand what was happening. Just to know that God was near. Do you fault Job for that? I don't. Well, let's look at just some of the different things. And let's look at the trembling faith of Job. The trembling faith. In chapter 23, Job 23, we notice beginning at verse 3, these words. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order or present my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot see or perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. You know what he's saying? I can see evidence of him working on the left hand, but I can't find him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. I just wish I knew where to find him, so we could just sit down and talk. Ever feel like that? Yeah, I think we do. Let's drop back to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 21. And we see his fainting faith here in verse 21. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. Job is saying, I just wish I had an advocate. I just wish I could have somebody that could speak up for me and God would listen, because, man, things are tough. Things are tough. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, look at verse 32. He says, he's not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there a daysman between us. That word daysman means a mediator. There's no advocate. There's no mediator that we between us, that he might lay his hand upon us. Here's a question for you. This was in the Old Testament days. What about today? Is there anybody who is an intercessor in our behalf today? Praise the Lord. And he sits where? At the right hand of the Father. And what Job was wishing he had, we have as a believer in Christ. That ought to do our hearts good when, like Job, we find ourselves in the midst of a situation and our hearts, because of the circumstances, we're crying out, I just wish I had somebody as a go-between between me and and can speak a good word for me.
We've got one.
We've got one, our Lord and Savior. Job didn't have that. He goes on. And he says in verse 34, let him take his rod away from me. And let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. I just wish he would back off. Can you relate to Job's feelings? Can you fault him for that? Haven't you at times just felt like, forgive me, Lord, but don't you think it's enough? Don't you think we have had enough? That's what Job is saying here. I just wish he'd back off. But I don't have anybody. He's not a man that I can talk to him. And I wish I could tell him that, but I can't. But God knew his heart. His fainting faith. In chapter 9, look at verses 16 and 17. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had listened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. What Job is saying here, he said, it'd be hard for me to believe, here in verse 16, that he had really heard me because of all that I am going through. You ever feel sometimes like you're praying, but I'm not sure God's hearing my prayer. I'm not sure God is listening to what I'm telling him. Here was Job. In the midst of all of the unknowns, and his faith was fainting. And he was just expressing what I can often relate to. Job, I don't fault you for that. You don't understand any more than I understand things that I go through. Chapter 10, verse 2. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me why you're contending with me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Lord, I would like to tell you, show me why this is happening. Look at verses 14 through 17 of chapter 10. If I sin, then thou pardonest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see, look at my affliction, for it increaseth. You hunt me as a fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. What he's saying here in these verses, I just don't understand. I don't understand. 13:3. In 13:3, he said, surely I would speak to the Almighty. And I desire to reason with God. God, I'd just like to talk with you. And I'd like to present my case to you. But it's not happening. Now you say, you know, you're skipping around all these different references. Remember, As we're looking at this, you remember the story, don't you? Job would pour out his heart, and then what? His friends, they would make him feel better, wouldn't they? Not really. They were basically unanimous in their arguments, and that is what? You are experiencing this because you have what?
Sin.
Sinned against God. Job, humble yourself, admit your sin, and things will be better for you. And in the midst of that, Job listening, in the midst of all of the unknowns, and understandably trying to figure out why this had happened to him, when the beginning of the book talks about his righteousness and how that he was very careful to make sure that his relationship with the Lord was right. He was very sure to even offer sacrifices in behalf of his own children to make sure that they were not doing something against God. In his mind, he was doing everything he was supposed to be doing, and then his world collapsed. And then his friends, this one would throw in his digs, and Job would express some of these faint-hearted feelings. And then that one would pick up where this one left off. And then when this one was done, that one back there, he would start in. And they just kept hammering away, accusing Job of doing something wrong. It's no wonder he says there, I just wish I could sit down and reason with God. Look at 19:7. 19:7. He said, Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. Then in 30:20, we look at one more reference here. It's not that that's all there is, of just looking at Job as he is expressing his feelings and his faint-heartedness is just pouring out. Notice in verse 20 and 30, I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. I stand up, and I think, well, Lord, you'll see me, but it's like you're ignoring me. Again, I think we can relate. We find in chapter 31, if we look at the 31st chapter, we're not going to look at it, but the summary of that 31st chapter is this. If I've done something wrong, I just wish he would tell me. That's the gist of chapter 31. You three men, you've been hammering away. But he pours it out and he says, I just wish, if that were true, he would tell me. Look at verse 31. I mean, 35 of chapter 31. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that my adversary had written a book. If I've done anything wrong, I just wish God would show it to me all written down why all of these things have happened. Now, as we look at this, you might be thinking, all of these statements from Job, sounds like Job is a good candidate for fair weather faith. isn't the full story. We have looked at a number of expressions of his fainting faith, his utterances from not understanding what God was doing. But this isn't the whole story with Job. And I want us to see, secondly, not his, what do we call that first one? Trembling faith. Let's look at his triumphant faith. Let's look at his triumphant faith. Do I criticize Job because his faith trembled in the midst of the trials? No. I wish I could say that my faith never trembles in the midst of trials. Can you? I can't. I wish I could. But we see in the midst of all of those things that we read where Job was telling it like it is. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Job. He's not pretending. He's not trying to pull wool over anybody's eyes. He's sharing with us the utter frustration as a man not understanding God's ways. And he poured out his heart. But in the midst of that, there was triumphant faith. Look at chapter 19. 19. Well, yeah, you say, we saw a verse there in 19 where he says, I cry out, I'm not heard, I cry aloud, but there's no judgment. But look at what he said a little bit later at verse 25 through 27. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself with mine eyes. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins, my heart, be consumed within me. What an expression of triumphant faith. What was Job expressing? He knows that God is what? Alive. He knows not only that his Redeemer lived, but he knows that one day his Redeemer is going to stand upon this earth. That's tremendous Old Testament truth, beloved. Knowing that the Jehovah God was going to be here, literally, actually, physically on this earth. And he says, I know I'm not going to live forever. I know I'm going to die. And he said, the worms are going to have a feast on my body when it lays there in the ground. But he said, I know the day's going to come when in my flesh I'm going to see God. You know what he was assured of and had confident faith in? What do we call this? The
resurrection.
The resurrection. He knew he was going to die, but he believed that he was going to be resurrected to see face to face the God that he's been expressing. Oh, I just wish I knew where to. I can't see him now. I wish I could talk to him, but you know what he says here? The days coming when I am going to be face to face with him. Praise the Lord! There's triumphant faith. We also see it in verse 13. Yeah, in chapter 13, he had some questions. I just wish I could sit down and talk with him. But look at verse 15 and 16. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. I know I don't understand what's happening here. And he says, but you know, I am so confident that though I lose my life, I'm still going to maintain my innocence and my relationship with him. I'm trusting him. Look at chapter 27, verses 2, 3, and 4. Chapter 27, 2, 3, and 4. When he said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed or troubled my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Or shall my tongue ever utter deceit? You know what he's saying? It doesn't matter what God does to me. I am not going to speak a word against God. Do you have that kind of faith in the Lord? This is Job. He didn't understand everything. He was experiencing terrible things. And the worst of it was, he didn't understand why. He could not find any reason in himself for God doing this all the while it was happening. Yes, his faith had trembled, but in the midst of that trembling faith, his triumphant faith rose to the surface, and he said, you know, as far as God, as long as I live, I'm not going to speak anything against him, because I love him. I trust him. 23, 10 through 14. 23, 10 through 14. In the midst of all of those expressions that we looked at as we skipped around forward and back in references, look at what he really knew and what he expressed. It says in verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, or tested me, that's what that word means, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have counted or esteemed the words of his mouth more important than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Wow, what an expression of triumphant faith. The day came when God revealed himself to Job. You know, at the end of the book, God did begin speaking to Job. But the interesting thing is that God did not answer one question that Job had uttered. Instead, God revealed himself in such a way that Job grew closer than ever before with a new consciousness of God's greatness. That would not have happened if Job would have given up on God just because he wasn't understanding all that was happening. What about you? You know, if the basis of our faith depends upon our circumstances, we're going to falter. Right? If the basis of our faith depends upon our understanding of everything that's going on in our life, we're going to falter. Because we don't understand everything. We looked at it this morning in our morning message. Deuteronomy 29:29. God has secrets that he's not going to reveal to you and me. Am I going to throw faith out the window because I don't understand everything? My point is, beloved, if our faith depends upon how my circumstances are going, how much I'm understanding, how much I might be enjoying all that is happening to me, we're going to tumble flat on our faith and hit our face. We're going to fall flat. Where should our faith be based, beloved? On my feelings, on my circumstances, on my status in life? Or should my faith be grounded firmly upon what I know and believe about God that he has revealed to us in his word? We know the answer, don't we? I trust that we'll remember Job. I trust that when we get into one of those dry spells, and boy, I really can't figure this all out, don't let your faith fly away. That's the time to fill our hearts and our minds with what we know is truth about God's word. That's what Job did. He was attacked from all sides. Throw in the towel. Just admit you've been wrong. I haven't been wrong. And I'm not giving up on God because I know he is faithful. May God help us in those uncertain times to not be one who demonstrates fair weather faith. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Father, I thank you for the document that has recorded for us the experiences of a man who walked and lived on this earth centuries ago. One of your men, one of your servants. We've marveled over the years as we have time and time read through the book, discovered what happened to Job. Father, we can relate to his questioning heart. We can relate to him just wishing, we all do, that he could understand, that he could just get some kind of an explanation from you. But in the midst of that, we praise you that he did not lose his faith in you. Strengthen our faith, Father, for those days ahead when we don't see clearly. Help us not to depend so much upon circumstances or feelings, but help us to depend upon the truth we know in our hearts about you, and may we make our decisions accordingly. We ask this in your name. And we pray, Lord, as we gather together and enjoy some refreshments that someone has so graciously provided once again, may it nourish your bodies for your good and glory. And then, as we part ways, take each one safely home. We thank you in your name.